Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Wow, good morning. What a powerful way to start the worship in the Word of God this morning. Thank you, worship team, for setting the stage. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone's faces this morning. Today we continue in 2 Timothy and we will wrap up 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you're joining us today for the first time or joining online, we would want you to know that we've been going verse by verse through 2 Timothy for the past couple of months now, looking at the last epistle written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy while pastoring in Ephesus, facing many challenges, and then receiving this letter only to find out that his best friend, his teammate and mentor in the ministry, doesn't have long to live. And we arrive today at the end of chapter 2, and we'll begin in a moment in verse 20 of chapter 2, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. And throughout this study, we are seeking to understand what it means for us to be equipped by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God to overcome anything and everything that comes our way in this life. And that is one of the main themes throughout this epistle. So before we begin in verse number 20 in just a moment, I want to remind you or introduce this text with a slogan that came about several years ago. And it was an influence upon a lot of teenagers, a lot of college age students. Maybe some of you still use this slogan today or whatever, but it was this slogan, YOLO, which means you only live once. And now the wisdom of darkness that was at work behind this phrase when it was becoming really popular is this idea of, since you only live once, you should live it up in this one life that you live. And it was teaching or promoting the idea that we should make quick, flippant decisions. Just go with the flow. Just do what you feel. If it feels right, if it looks right, it must be right. So just go with it. Don't think about it. Don't pray about it. Don't question anything about it. Just go with it. And so the enemy was at work, and this is one of those many tools, of where he's trying to disconnect cause and effect. He's trying to disconnect cause and effect. Why pray about it or think about it? Why think about what the consequences are going to be? You only live once. So just go with it. So you can imagine all the decisions that people were prone to make in light of that way of thinking. But with that in mind, it is here in verse number 20 that I would like to invite you, if you can and you're able, to please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word, beginning in verse 20, which says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Let us pray, and then we will continue on down to verse 26. Father, we stand here reminded that it is true, we live one time. And with this one life, you have invited us so graciously to be a vessel of honor, to live a life that would be purposeful, that would be a part of accomplishing the purposes that you have prepared for every single person. So as we respond to this text and move down through verse 26, Father, we ask that your Spirit would guide us into all truth, that you would illuminate your word so that we can see, hear, and understand what you are saying to each and every one of us, that we may not waste our lives, but rather live our lives for you, the great, wise King, our Savior. And this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So as Ethan was preaching through these two verses last week, I just felt on the edge of my seat thinking, wow, in these two verses, this is everything. In these two verses, how we respond essentially to what God has invited us to with these two verses determines everything about the direction that we will live our lives. So I pray that you are captivated, that our King in his great house and in his great work has invited us to such a great life that regardless of what you've went through or decisions you've made or things that have happened in your life, you're alive today and the invitation is still available. And I pray that we would wake up each day and respond and say, yes, I want this life. I want to know you and I want to follow after your purposes. So when I woke up this morning, I got to be honest, I was just a little bit excited to think that as a church family, we kind of just get to sit today and soak this in together, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to go after this life together. And so a couple weeks ago, David, when he was going through his text earlier in chapter 2, he pulled up a map. And so throughout this epistle, this is kind of the picture that we've looked at a few times, that when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, it's the beginning. My faith is in Christ dying for my sins and rising from the dead to give me everlasting life. Now this opportunity for this honorable, purpose-driven life begins. And what we've saw all throughout this epistle is Onesiphorus and Timothy's mother and grandmother, and then the Apostle Paul and so many more are like teammates. God puts teammates with us in this life. He gives us friends and family to stay on course, to follow his path so that we can accomplish his will. But then you see the two dark trails veering off to the side. We have looked at these people by name in this epistle, Phygellus and Hermogenes, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and how essentially they rebelled against God. And they said, you know what? I'll choose the dishonorable path. I will choose the path that leads to no abundant life, to destruction. And he's calling them out by name. And that's all we know. They only lived once. And this is all we know of their lives. It's such a tragedy. But today we get to lean in and say, God, here I am today with your word. I want to follow this path. I want to know what it means each and every day to be on this path. And if I get off, I want to have the wisdom to get back on. And so you think about this. Scripture, all throughout Scripture, the Bible characterizes Satan as a liar, a deceiver, one who has come to steal, kill, and destroy, one who creates chaos and confusion, one who distracts people and provokes hatred and immorality, and he's the accuser of the brethren. We know that he is hard at work. We see this happening all across our nation to distract and to divide people. So what we're seeking to do today as we move through these verses is to understand more and be encouraged more in what it means to be equipped to discern the truth from the trap. Discerning the truth from the trap. So kind of to begin this, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that I have a new group of friends. We'll say this whole side over here. You're my new group of friends. And as we begin to hang out with one another, my new friends introduce me to new things. They introduce me to new conversations, new music, new movies, new ways of thinking, things I've never been exposed to before. And so I'm going to go over here, and I'm hanging out with my new friends, and I'm going to get this bag. This bag represents these new feelings that I'm experiencing with my new friends, new things that I'm learning, new opportunities that I now have that I didn't have before, but I've been learning from my group of new friends. And so this bag has something in it, which we're going to get to in just a second. We're going to call this the path of feelings. On this path of feelings, verse 22 goes on to respond to verses 20 and 21, God's invitation to this honorable life, by saying, flee youthful lusts, these cravings, these desires that come up within us, the Bible goes on to tell us, Timothy, church at Ephesus, church at Robinsville, when you feel these things and you're learning these new things, these are things that you need to turn and run from. And here's what I want to do. I want to give you an example by pulling out what's in here. This is a bottle of Tink's Dough and Rut Buckler. So I want you to think of this for a second. It's deer season, so think of this. If you're this guy right here, this is the most dangerous season of life that you live in. Because right now, all over America, he's looking for a girlfriend. And you see he's got his nose stuck up in the air and he's winding, he's smelling. This is the time of the year when a big buck is most vulnerable to being killed. Because what happens is he begins to smell, and I teach my boys this is a doe's perfume. He begins to smell a doe's perfume, and so he's like, I got to go find her. Because that perfume triggers a feeling inside of him that puts him on a determined path to go find this doe. He'll cross mountains, valleys, creeks, rocks. He don't care because he's following these feelings. And so you think of this. What we do is we take this bottle out and we pour it into what's called a scent bomb. And we open up this scent bomb that's got a little rag in it and we hang them up. We hang them on trees. We hang them below our deer stand. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get him to think your girlfriend is over here where we're at. So you should come over here. And we're praying that the wind would blow the scent in the direction of this big buck and that he would begin to come our way. But what we as the church have to be reminded of is what's true about this whole picture, this whole understanding of hunting. What he doesn't know, if he doesn't realize it soon, is when he's following his feelings, if he doesn't turn and run from something that's actually not reality, eventually we'll be looking at him through a scope. Eventually, he will be in our crosshairs, which is just where the hunter wants him. But for you and me, this is not where we want to be. And what we're wanting to train our minds to continuously think as you're growing up or as you're parenting or as you're grandparenting or whatever, because these youthful lusts can still exist in us, whether you're young or whether we're old, that eventually the path has a dead-end trap. Eventually, the enemy is wanting to get us into the crosshairs to break up our relationships, to hinder our focus on Christ. And so let's think of this from a real practical life example for a moment. Proverbs chapter 7. He's writing this letter to his son, and he says this. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. Now think of this. This is the book of wisdom. And Solomon is wanting his son to treasure God's word, treasure God's truth, treasure God's laws, and let the truth of God's word guide his path. And he says, son, I'm looking out my window and I see a group of people, but there's one person standing out among that group of people. And here's the way I'm going to describe him. He just doesn't really understand what he's doing. Because I'm watching the path that he's taken, and he's going near not just any street corner, but her corner. He's taking a path, but not just a path to somewhere, but a path to her house. And he says, here's what happens. On that path, a woman met him. She was dressed with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home, and at times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. He says, son, listen, she knows why she's dressed this way. She has an aim. She has a purpose. She knows what, he's like, I've been watching her. And look, he says, she's everywhere. He's like, she's not just looking for you. She's everywhere all the time. He says, I'm watching her. I see how rebellious she is. She's crafty. She's thinking this through. And then he says, eventually, She catches him and kisses him with an impudent face. That means a bold face. That means a face unashamed of what she's doing. And then she begins to speak to him. And when she starts speaking, she says, I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I found you. Now you pause for a second and you be this guy. He feels loved. He feels wanted. He feels treasured. He feels that he is the man. It's as if he feels right now he's the only man in the entire world. And she has eyes on him. He's like, hey, this is kind of why I was hanging out on this path anyway. And so then Solomon says that she goes on talking. And she says, I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. It looks good. It smells good. And it's waiting for you. And you just want someone to interrupt this man right here and say, wait, 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 hold on. When it comes to this subject, when it comes to everything that you're feeling right now in your body, right now, God has appointed a time and a place in a marriage covenant between one man and one woman in a covenant with God for this. Now's not the time because she's not your wife. But no one crosses his path. No one goes out of his way. And Solomon says, and the story goes on, you can continue reading Proverbs 7, and he says this in verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. He did just what she wanted. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went out after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. He didn't see it coming. He didn't see the regret or the pain or the hurt that would come with this. It's no wonder that 2 Timothy 2:22, there's one command. It's four words. Flee also youthful lust, because the enemy has got an arrow pointed at your heart. And Solomon then says, now therefore, listen to me, my children, my son, the church. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Strong on the outside, but weak on the inside. And he says, son, this is wisdom. So here's what's fascinating. When we come back, actually, let me pause and say this. If I had a daughter, I would go back and reread all this, and I would change all the things about her to a him, and I'd be like, darling, God has some dude for you, a man for you, way better, way better. This isn't the kind of man you go for. Amen, daddies? Okay. So verse 22, when we go back to verse 22, watch this. Flee youthful lust, but think about it. When the Bible tells us to turn and run, the world says that's kind of cowardly, ain't it? I mean, everybody has to remember what it was like to be in high school or college. That's kind of cowardly, but think of this. If you're waiting for that big buck to come within, let's say, 200 yards or whatever, and to get in your crosshairs, and he wins you, he looks up and sees you move, and he sees you, and he turns and runs. Think about it. A hunter never says, gosh, that was a real cowardly buck. Man, that buck was just so wimpy. He ran away. No, as a hunter, you say, man, he's smart. And that's why that buck's so big. That's why he's so hard to kill. He's smart. He saw me. He smelled me. He didn't let his feelings get the best of him. And so, but the Bible says when we turn and run, we're not running aimlessly. We have something to run to. We have someone to run to. It says pursue righteousness. So just imagine yourself, God, I'm running to you. I'm tempted right now. I'm weak right now. My feelings are trying to take over my decisions. I'm running to you. I want to know what is righteous in your eyes. God, I'm running to faith because I want to trust that what you say about me is much more important than what the world says I have to be. God, I'm running to love. I want to know your definition of love, real love, so that I don't fall victim to a fake love, a sappy love, a feel-good love. God, I'm running to peace because I don't want to worry and live anxious about every decision I make. And what? Look at this. It says we pursue this path with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God is inviting us to plead with him for friends to do this with, a church family to do this with. If you're single, a spouse to do this with. If you're lonely, friends upon friends upon friends that you can talk this out, a life group, a discipleship group that you can study and be encouraged together. What's not here is that you're supposed to do this alone. Wow. So there's something else I got to tell you. I have another group of friends. There's another path that the text goes on to tell us to avoid. So this time, you guys over here, you're my group of friends. And as I begin to hang out with this group of friends, they're educating me on a lot of information, but it's useless information. It's information that allows me to argue really well. It allows me to quarrel really well. It's built me up to the point that I'm kind of arrogant, because the more I hang out with this group of friends, the more I begin to carry this bag of influence with me. And I'm noticing that I'm kind of getting snappy. I'm kind of becoming more confident that when I'm in a conversation with you, I will get the last word. I will prove that I'm right and you're wrong. And I will win and you will lose. You ever been that person? You ever known somebody like that? Okay. We've got some honest people here today. So in this is the path to fighting. You see this guy? This guy likes to fight. What's he missing? He's missing an antler. Because, again, during this time of the year, at a distance, while he's looking for a girlfriend, he hears something. When he hears that, he says, oh, I can go whoop them boys. They're over there wearing each other out. And I'm going to go over there big and strong. And when I show up, they'll be so tired from whooping each other that they won't want to mess with me, and I'll get the dough. This is that time of the year again where these big bucks, they get a confidence in themselves. And what we want to be sensitive to as we continue to learn and grow in life is the path of fighting. Now watch this. Verse 23 says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife, which is another word for fights. We want to be sensitive to those moments when the conversation isn't a conversation anymore. The conversation is becoming heated. The conversation isn't about dialoguing and learning or agreeing to disagree anymore. The conversation is about, I'm going to prove I'm right. I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to get in the last word. And he says, stay away from that path. It's just a path that leads to a fight. Because what the enemy wants us to do, because remember, if I'm clanging these antlers together, there's really not two bucks fighting. I'm really trying to get that buck to think that. So he comes over there looking for the fight, and I take him down. What the enemy wants us to do is to make it normal in the church, normal in our families, to fight and argue with each other. What the enemy wants us to do is to make brothers and sisters think it's okay just to grow up fighting all the time, arguing with parents, parents argue back. What the enemy wants us to do is to make a husband and wife think it's absolutely normal to just go at it with each other all the time. And he says, but, there's a road of truth that tells us a different story. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. A servant of the Lord sees that trap, hears that clanging over there and says, I don't need to go get involved in that because I know what the enemy wants to do. He wants to pin us against each other. He wants to pin me against my church or my friends or my family. I know what he's trying to do. And it's interesting, the word servant here is the word doulos. The word doulos means a bondservant who has worked for his master, did his time, and his master has set him free. But because his master loves him and he loves his master, the bondservant says, rather than going out and living life now by my own will, I want to go back and serve my master in that great house. And I want that auger to go through my ear, and I want the whole world to know my identity is a servant of the Lord. And so this is huge. When we wake up every day saying, the most honorable thing I can do today, God, is serve you. I just want to serve you. And we know that a servant of the Lord doesn't quarrel. Then when the quarrel starts, the servant of the Lord says, that's not how I serve the Lord. I don't serve the Lord by getting in the last word. I don't serve the Lord by fighting this fight. Hey, I needed this week. I serve the Lord by being gentle to all. That person at work that's difficult to be with, that person on your team that's in your class that's hard to get along with, I serve God by being gentle around that person. Able to teach. I cultivate the relationship and I wait for those moments to when I can impart some grace-filled, truth-saturated word that might help that person. I'm being patient with all the things about this person that frustrate me. And in humility, I'm looking to correct those that are in opposition because it's not me they're in opposition with. They're in opposition to God. And if God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, this changes everything about relationships that we have with people when we view ourselves this way, seeking to be on this honorable path for God. Now, God is strengthening you and strengthening me to see the big picture and to say, you know what? That person really needs from me is not an argument, but to see that they can't get a reaction out of me and get me all wound up and hopped up. So instead of fighting back, we serve the Lord by remaining calm and gentle and waiting for that. Because when unbelievers see the church fighting and quarreling, the unbelievers say, I don't want anything to do with that church or that Jesus that you follow. But when unbelievers see how patient and loving and graceful you are with their mistakes and the things that they're struggling with, he says, perhaps God will change their mind. And one day they'll say, hey, share the truth with me. Because there's one more picture here. In this picture, it's called the path of fools. Verse 26 goes on to say that the reason we want to serve this way is because we hope and we pray that they would come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Keep in mind, four of those names that were listed earlier on in 2 Timothy that were on that map are guys that would have professed to be saved. They're individuals that would have professed to be at some point on the team with the Apostle Paul. Now watch this. At the end of chapter 4, Paul says this. Be diligent to come to me quickly, Timothy, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. When serving the Lord isn't my mission, I'm reminded through the text today that I can end up at one of these traps, one of these dead-end roads at any point. And then like Demas, slowly and surely, you influence me and you influence me and you influence me, my loves begin to change. I used to just love the Word of God and love Christian music and love good conversations, but now over time, my love is gradually starting to change. And Demas, when you study Colossians, he was one of Paul's teammates. He was right there with him. But his love changed. It shifted. So here's one more group of friends that I have. It's going to be you guys in the middle. You okay with that? These are my foolish friends. And as I've hung out with you guys over time, that's what's happened to me. My values have begun to change. The way I think and the way I love and what's a priority to me now isn't what it used to be. And so, as you begin to influence my life, I don't even see it coming. But the way I'm thinking, the way I'm talking, and the way I'm behaving is just like it's one big trap. You think of this. And just so suddenly, the enemy pulls the trigger. Just so suddenly, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. Just so suddenly, I don't want to go to church anymore. So suddenly, I'm trapped. And I don't know what to do. I've burned all the bridges with my friends. I won that war on words so many times. I don't have anybody to call. And just that quick, I want you to know that we think about that. Whether your child is young, middle, or old, whether you're new to the church, you've been here for years, this is always on our hearts and on our minds, that as a church, our aim and our mission is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus, to present God glorious and wonderful, to let everyone know that following Him and serving Him is worth it. It's the greatest life possible. But if this happens, we pray that we've shown enough grace that anyone could know they still have someone to come talk to. They still have a life to live. And we, with God's grace, can pray and help and see what God is doing. Because here's the thing. I don't want to die doing the devil's will. I don't want to die doing the devil's will. When we go out, let's go out with a blaze of glory, serving our King, King Jesus. Because the reality is, we only live once. God doesn't want us to waste it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reality of your word, Father. We know that verse 26 applies to everyone. And could be anyone. But we know verse 20 and 21 is an invitation for all people every day to wake up and to see that smile on your face and to know you are inviting us to an honorable life, a life with purpose. And that purpose is found again and again and again in your Son Jesus. And so we ask now that you would equip us by your Spirit to have self-control when our feelings want to take over, that you would equip us with your Spirit to have gentleness when we feel like fighting with our wives, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our classmates and teammates. And Father, that you would equip us with discernment, the discernment that's in chapter 1, verse 7 of this book, when fools are in our path, and they're trying to take us down a path that would only oppose you and lead us to doing the will of the devil. Let it not be so in this church, Father. And we ask your blessing today on everyone that would agree with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.